Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. We're going to be talking about the grace of God today, several different aspects of grace, and maybe this is just to clear up some confusion or some false conclusions that have been drawn from people who are teaching about grace or people that have a doctrine of grace that may be different from what the Bible teaches. And so we're going to be teaching this and basing it on scripture coming right out of the book of Ephesians, the epistle that Paul wrote to the baby church at Ephesus. And the first point I want to make about grace, and this is emphasized in Ephesians 2:1, is that salvation, the salvation that we have, the salvation that we know and claim to be from Jesus Christ, that salvation comes by grace. Ephesians 2 verse 1, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Okay, so Paul starts out by saying we were all dead in trespasses and we were all in sins. Paul, of course, includes himself in that. He was a sinner of great magnitude, I guess you could say, because he helped persecute Christians. He even held the cloak of Stephen as they were killing and persecuting Stephen. And so Paul was a sinner. And so he says, "We were dead in trespasses, and we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." Well, who is the prince of the power of the air? That's none other than Satan. That is the deceiver, the accuser of the brethren. And he is the prince of the power of the air. He has his abode. Well, I guess no one knows for sure if his abode is in hell or if his abode is in the heavenly places, not the highest heaven, not in the throne of God, but he does have abodes in heavenly places. He moves about in the heavenly realm, and also he most likely has an abode in hell. He's not bound there, but he may have an abode there. And so we, Paul says, we all walked according to the course of this world. Well, when you have sinned, beloved, when we are in sin, we walk into the course, or we walk in the path, the course of this world, which is a sin-filled, sin-sick world. It's controlled by the schemes and plans and strategies, the wiles of the devil. And when you are walking with the devil, when you are trapped in addictions, when you're trapped in sexual immorality, when you're trapped in lying and cheating and stealing and all kinds of schemes, adultery and idolatry and extortion and blackmail and all that type of stuff, you are in the thick of the devil's world. You are in the thick of the course of this world. And Paul says that spirit, the prince of the power of the air, that spirit, he now works in the sons of disobedience. Well, it's no different now than it was in Paul's day 2,000 years ago. The devil is still the ruler of the world. We can overcome the ruler of the world. We can overcome the devil. We can overcome the darkness of this world to some extent through the blood of Jesus, through our faith walk with Jesus Christ, through our kingdom walk. We can overcome the darkness of this world, but you can never come out of the world until your day of death. You can never completely free yourself of the world. You're going to be dealing with the world at some point. Every single day, you're going to be dealing with the ruthless and destructive nature, the course of the world, the prince of the power of the air. You're going to be dealing with him at some point every day of your life until the day that you exit this earth. And so in verse 4, Paul says, But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And so this is the first declaration, according to Paul, this is the first declaration of our salvation, that it is by grace you have been saved, and it is by grace that salvation has come to you. Now, there are doctrines out there, Calvinist doctrines and other types of doctrines, that say that you don't have any part in salvation. You don't have any part that you were chosen before the beginning of time. You were chosen before you were born, that you were predestined to be saved. You were predestined to be one of those who are saved, and other people are predestined to be lost and predestined to be in hell for all eternity. Well, I don't agree with those doctrines. I don't believe that's what the Scripture teaches. I believe the Scripture teaches that, yes, God knew beforehand those who would accept Him, those who would receive Him. God knew beforehand because God knows everything. He knows the future. He knows what's going to happen a year from now, 10 years from now, 100 years from now. He knows those who are going to say yes to Him, and He knows those who are going to say no. And so there is a certain amount of pre-knowledge on the part of God, or omniscience on the part of God, but God does not take free will away from anyone. And so it is not true that we do not have any part in salvation. We have a part in salvation. We have to initiate or exert our free will and say yes to the Lord, and say yes to His calling, say yes to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and we have to exert our free will just as much as we do when we get up and we say, am I going to eat breakfast today? I'm going to have coffee and eggs and toast, or whatever it is you're going to have. You can't just say that you have no part in deciding what your breakfast is going to be. You don't, like an amoeba, float into the kitchen and then lean up against the refrigerator or the stove and hope something comes into your body by osmosis. You have to fix it. You have to go to the restaurant and order it. You have to chew it and eat it. And it's the same with the gospel. It is by grace that you have been saved. You did not go to the cross. You did not shed your blood. You have sin. That's what Paul is saying. You have sin. I have sin. We have sin. And it is through no great merit or no great measure of our own, no great accomplishment of our own, that we can receive salvation. It is by grace, it is by the mercy of God, and it is by the grace of God that God loved us even when we are in our sin. Even when we are in our sin, God loves us. And if you are out there today and you don't understand salvation and you think, oh, I can never be saved, I can never walk in the kingdom of God, I can never receive the glory of God and the kingdom of God in my life, I'm not worthy to receive it, I'm not good enough to receive it, I have so much sin in my life and so many ugly bad things that have happened in my life, I've made so many bad choices, maybe you've lived a life of a lot of bad choices, stealing and lying and sexual immorality and all kinds of other stuff. Well, I tell you today, God has a plan for your life, and His mercy and His grace cover your sin. His grace is sufficient to cover you, and His grace is sufficient to bring you into the kingdom, just as He did Paul, who was a murderer of Christians or an accomplice to their murder, just as He did me, just as He did even the worst of the sinners, serial killers and everybody else. They all can receive the grace of God. They can all have that grace incorporated into their life and attributed to their life, and they can receive the salvation because it is by the blood of Jesus and His sacrifice on the cross, the blood that He shed, and the blood that He shed covers their sin, it covers your sin, it covers my sin, and that is the part that we receive by grace. We still have to make a decision. We still have to walk up to the altar and say yes. We still have to sometimes get on our knees and ask for forgiveness and repent. And we still at times have to say, devil, get out of my life. I'm moving ahead. I'm moving forward. I'm seeking the Lord. And sometimes you have to, for some of you who never have gone to church, you may have to get dressed up, not necessarily in formal dress or fancy dress. I'm not talking suit and tie, but I mean maybe in a different suit of clothes. Clean your body, clean your clothes, go to church, and walk to the front and say, I want to receive Jesus. Maybe that would be a good thing for you to do today or tomorrow or the next day or next Sunday. And so it is by grace, Paul says, that you have been saved. And in verse 6, he says, and Christ raised us up together and made us sit together, or it is God who raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, he's speaking here, spiritually speaking. We're not actually sitting physically, of course, with Christ Jesus. Today I'm sitting in Mumias, Kenya, and I'm speaking to you from 10,000 miles away, but it is a spiritual position that we take when we receive the salvation of God, the salvation through Jesus Christ, and we are saved by the grace of God, and we are saved through the blood of Jesus and the death that he died, the work that he did, the finished work that he did on the cross. But we are positionally set then beside Jesus Christ in the heavenly places, or sitting in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, positionally then, through Christ Jesus, we are able to sit at the right hand of God. And someday, beloved, because of your confession of faith, because if you receive salvation by grace, someday you're not only going to be sitting there positionally, but you will be there in spirit and in soul. You will be in heaven rejoicing with the angels, rejoicing with your ancestors, your grandmother, your grandfather, those who knew Jesus Christ and went on before you. And there will be a time in your life when your earthly walk and your earthly tent is finished. There will be a time in your life when you will sit in the heavenly places with Jesus Christ and with Jehovah God and all of the angels, and you will be there and you will know that is your place, and you will know that you gained that place by the grace of God. Verse 7, Paul goes on here to say that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ. He's speaking about God again, God the Father, Jehovah God. That in the ages to come, he's talking about the eternal ages, those ages that will take place after your earthly walk, after my earthly walk. There's going to be ages to come. We will spend eternity with the Lord. We will spend the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem, with the Lord, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ. And so God is kind toward us. He is kind toward you today. He loves you today. He will continue to show his kindness towards you. If you do not receive Jesus Christ today, if you do not accept his offer of grace and salvation today, you will receive it another day, possibly, if you live and you are not taken off this earth. God does not take you off this earth. If something doesn't happen to you to end your life abruptly, you will be given a chance to receive it another day, because God is a God of second chances, and his grace will be sufficient for you a year from now, or 5 years from now, or 10 years from now. But again, I want to caution you and make you aware of the fact that you don't know when the last day you are going to be on this earth. You don't know when your last breath on this earth is going to be. And so do not take the grace of God for granted. Do not assume that you're going to keep living. Do not assume that every day is going to be just like today, and that God's grace will cover your sin if you are living a life of sin, if you're practicing unrepentant sin, and you're living a lifestyle that is with the devil, you're walking with the devil, you're serving with the devil, and you are not making any move towards receiving the salvation and the grace that Jesus Christ has for you and that Jehovah God has for you, then you are running a risk of putting God in a place where he's going to judge you, and he will then take you off this earth and say, it is time for you to go. It is time for you to go because your earthly walk is over. And so when God says that, no man can argue with him. When your last day is done, it is done. And then God's grace has been pulled from you. It has been taken from you. And at that point, then the judgment on your life will take place. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And so you have to activate your faith. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And so the faith is a gift of God. the same as the grace is a gift of God. And Paul says that that faith is not of yourself. It is a gift of God. And it is through your faith and the grace of God then that salvation comes to you, that you can access salvation. It's a free gift. It's an eternal gift. But you have to express your faith. You have to say, Lord, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you are who you say you are, and that your son Jesus is your son. You say he is my only begotten son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so you have to believe, you have to exercise your faith and say, I believe these things. I'm stepping out in faith and believing, even though I may have sin in my life. I believe Jesus' blood can cover my sin. I believe Jesus' blood can wash me free and set me free of that sin. And when you do that, when you access salvation and the free gift of God, then God says, oh, I like that. Jesus' blood has covered you. Jesus' blood has washed you clean. When I look at you, I see Jesus' blood. When I look at you, I see a cleansed person that has been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. And so we access these things through our faith that comes by the grace of God. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And those who come to him must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so by the faith that we proclaim, the faith that we step out or move in, that faith, we activate that faith, and then we put it into action. We do something in the physical, earthly realm that looks like action. You walk to the front of the church and you make a confession of faith. You call up. I've actually had people call me after this radio broadcast and say they wanted to confess to me and confess before God and receive salvation and were baptized shortly thereafter. And so you have to do something to express your faith. Faith without works is dead. And so you have to activate your faith by doing something in the physical realm, doing something in this earthly realm, so that God and people know what your motives are, what your intentions are, and what you believe by the actions and the words of your mouth. And so Paul says that by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so you can't boast about your mission trips. It's okay to share and tell people if you've been to Mexico to build houses. It's okay to tell people if you've been to Haiti and help feed the poor. That's just giving testimony. But when you start to boast and think that you have gained salvation because you've been to church 104 Sundays in a row and have not missed, or you've baked 28 pies for the church dinners or whatever, if you're boasting in that and you think that those things are the reason that you have salvation, and you think because of your works that somehow God is going to reward you with salvation by your great works, you're making a big mistake and you're just being a legalist, because you think that your works is what gets you into heaven, and you think your works is what proclaims or procures salvation for you. Beloved, your works aren't going to get you into heaven. Your works are not going to get you eternal life. What gets you eternal life and a place in heaven and seated with Christ Jesus is your confession of faith, the belief in your heart that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that his blood was shed for you, and that you cannot be reconciled back to God. You cannot have your sins washed away and cleansed until you say yes to Jesus, until you bow your knee to Jesus and confess his name in your life, and then your sins can be washed away. You are then set free by the blood of Jesus. It is not by your own works, because God does not want you to boast, and somehow you think that you worked your way into heaven by being such a good person. That is not God's will, and you will not be rewarded if you have bought into that argument or you bought into that mindset that somehow you can work your way into heaven. And many, many people in many denominations, I'm not going to name any of them, there's people in every denomination, every stripe and strain of Christianity that think they have to work their way into heaven. They have to do the checklist and do all the things, pray for 30 minutes a day, read their Bible for 30 minutes a day, go to church every Sunday, whatever. I'm not saying those are bad things. Those are all great things if you're doing them for the right reason, which is to bring glory to God and to be closer to your Master, closer to your Savior. But if you think you're working your way into heaven, and then when you get to the end, God's going to measure all the good things that you've done, and then he's going to weigh all the bad things that you've done, and you just hope by God's grace that you have an ounce more of good things than you do bad, and then God is going to say, okay, your good outweighs your bad, so you're coming in. No, it is not going to work like that. It is by the grace of God that you're going to be saved, and it is by the grace of God that you're saved today, and it is not of your own works that you can boast. You are saved for good works. Okay, so after your salvation, you are saved for good works. After your salvation, Paul goes on to say in verse 9, not of good works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You are created for good works. God doesn't rapture us and take us up to heaven immediately after we say yes to Jesus. If you make a confession of faith when you're 10 years old and you're baptized, or you're 14 years old or 24 years old, he doesn't just then rapture all the people that make a confession and say, we're going to have a big party up in heaven. You are saved for good works, that you can do these works while you're here on the earth. Then Paul goes on to say in verse 10 that these good works, his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. All right, so what does this mean? We have an opportunity as born-again believers, we have an opportunity to go out and walk into the good works that God has prepared for us. You know, beloved, God has prepared good works for you. He's prepared good works for me. He prepared good works for Paul. Do you think God knew when Paul, as Saul, was persecuting the early church believers and dragging them out of their houses and taking them off to prison? Do you think God knew that Paul someday would write 13 books or whatever books of the New Testament of our scripture? Yes, God knew that. And so God prepared beforehand the works that he wanted Paul to do. And Paul, you know, went 3 times up into Asia, up to Rome, all over the modern Asian world, Turkey and Greece and Macedonia, and he planted many churches. He established elders in the churches. He ended up in a prison in Rome. He witnessed and he testified to kings all over that part of the known world. And so God has prepared for you, and he's prepared for me, works that we can walk in them, that we can do them. Do you think God knew that someday I would be in Africa preaching the gospel and building a children's home and preaching crusades in so far 6 countries in Africa? Yes, beloved, God knew that. He knew me when I was living for the devil and running with the devil and trapped in a demonic lifestyle. He knew all of that about me, and so he prepared for me even before I was born. He spoke over me what he wanted me to be, what he wanted me to do, how I could walk into my destiny and bring glory and honor to him. And beloved, when God does that, when he speaks over you, the word of the Lord is yes and amen. The word of the Lord is sure, and you can bank on it, and you can trust in it, and you can believe in it, that God has the best intention for your life, that He knows the perfect calling on your life. He knows the destiny of your life. And it is all because of the grace of God. We don't deserve it. We don't merit it. We can't do anything to deserve it. But by the grace of God, the blood that Jesus shed, we can walk in to our calling, walk into our destiny, walk into our salvation. And that is His will for you. It is your choice to make. It is your decision. And then you reach out and you say, "Yes, Jesus, I want to receive what You have for me. It is by Your grace that I'm saved, and I receive it today, the salvation that You have." And so we thank the Lord for that. We praise the Lord. We praise Jesus. We praise Him for the works and all the plans that He has for us, and that we can come in agreement with the plans and walk out that destiny just as God has so willed it in our lives. Well, beloved, it's great to bring these messages to you from Africa. It's very hot today. I appreciate the fact that you're having spring over there. It's very hot, summer-like conditions here, but God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He's the same in every part of the world, every part of the earth. It's His will that people would bow their knee to Him, confess His name, and come to know Him as their Lord and Savior, confess Jesus. They would walk into the works that He has for them. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for all the provision over these many years to bring these broadcasts, but we invite you to participate in keeping these broadcasts coming and also participate in the projects and the works that God has for us here in Africa. You can be a part of all that. Stay tuned for contact information, and you can find out how to partner with this great ministry. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.